This is so good because tonight's sermon is on love. And we're just loving tonight, aren't we? We're having a love fest. It's just beautiful. Okay, yes, you can turn in your Bibles to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. That's where we are. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And it has all to do about the greatest of these is love. And we're so blessed with that truth in the Bible. And I'm going to have you guys participate tonight in the study. And I'm excited about that. So, looking at 1 Corinthians 13, don't get scared about what we're going to do. It's going to be fine. Okay. The subject is love, and we read the last verse in chapter 12 last week, and it says, "Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent way," and that way is the way of love. And so the chapter about love begins, and I want to give you an introduction to this chapter because C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves. And what that is different definitions of the word love in the Greek language. We only have one definition in English and in Spanish for love. And so, but we know in our hearts that you can love an orange differently than you love your wife. You know, I love an orange and I love my wife. And so in the Greek language, there's different words to describe love. Now, the first one is storge. It's storgey. And it means affection type love. The love that actually a dog can have for a cat. Did you ever have a cat that slept with your dog? Have you seen that happen? Where they become so affectionate and easy to be together, they end up sleeping together, they curl up together. It's very precious, you know. And actually, our son has a rabbit, a great big giant chocolate Labrador. It's a huge dog. It weighs 90 pounds. And this rabbit and five cats. And they all love each other. It's amazing to watch them play in the yard. And this rabbit is almost the boss. I mean, just amazing to watch. It's something to see. But storge, and that means affection. Now, every marriage should have that in it, the affection, the warm fuzzies, I call it, because you want to have warm fuzzies towards your wife or husband. But the next kind of love is phileo, the Greek word phileo, which is friendship love. I like tennis, you like tennis. We like tennis together. We become friends. And that's a really neat kind of love, too. And these two loves are great to have in a marriage relationship, but they're not they don't have the strength that the final kind of love has to hold a marriage together. They are just loves that are existent, and they exist between different individuals and as well as in a marriage. It's good to have affection, the warm fuzzies. It's good to be friends. But these aren't strong enough for what needs to be done to really love. The fourth kind is eros. It's the Greek word eros. We get our word erotic from eros. It's the physical kind of love in the marriage relationship. And I call it Hollywood love because that's what it's all about, the erotic films, the erotic things. They want to call that the real love. And that's also a good thing in the proper place and a wonderful thing in a marriage. But the real love that we need to be married 50 plus years and to enjoy Jesus Christ is His love. And that's the agape love. That's the Greek word agape. And you know, that word was not widely used until Jesus came because they needed a way to describe the love of Christ. And that's what we're looking at and we see in the Bible. And the definition of that love is actually given right here in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and we begin to understand this is a whole different kind of love. And it's the love of Jesus that only he can bring, and it's wonderful. Now, at this point, I'm going to include you. I want to have volunteers tonight to read scriptures because we have too many scriptures to turn to one at a time. Anybody want to read a scripture tonight? Can I see a hand? Oh, my wife raised her hand. Carmen raised her hand. Good. Well, I'll get my wife first. 1 Timothy 3:5. 1 Timothy 3:5. And I don't want you to read it right now, but just find that verse and hold it. Okay, Carmen, we'll give you John chapter 13 and verse 35. Okay, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 35. But again, hold reading it and just have it ready when we want you to stand and read it. Okay, somebody else? Did you raise your hand? Good, thank you, Dan. 1 John 4:7-8. So 7 and 8. 1 John 4:7-8. Okay, now someone else? You were shaking your head, Dennis. Good. Okay, my brother. 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. And then one last scripture. Anybody? Oh, Rick. Good. Rick, you're way in the back. This is excellent. Okay, Romans 13:10. Romans 13:10. All right. Okay, now we're going to have you read those scriptures in just a minute. But first of all, I want to go ahead and read the first three verses, of chapter 13. And so it says this, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now, we just did the gift of tongues last week, remember? Or no, at the 4th of July, actually, we did the gift of tongues. And we see here that people can be given a gift of a tongue of men. And we talked about that French dialect from that woman that gave the testimony at Costa Mesa about receiving her husband's French dialect. Was very rare. And through that, he got saved because she knew his language without studying it, and it blew him away. And so that's a tongue of men, the French dialect that was received by her. And of angels. Some even get tongues of angels. Isn't that exciting when you might receive the gift of tongues and you have a tongue of an angel? And you know, when I first received tongues, I thought that's what I got because it didn't leave space to breathe. It sounded like this. Where do you breathe in this thing, you know? So I don't know if that's true or not, but it's exciting to think about the gifts of God. But, you know, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, the agape love, I am become as a tinkling brass or a tinkling symbol. I'm just not having any profit in having the gift of tongues because I need to love God and love others and be about wanting to serve others through the use of my gift, perhaps looking for an interpretation of a tongue that would edify the body of Christ. And it goes on and says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy," and we studied the gift of prophecy also in chapter 12, "and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains." Remember when Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can say this mountain be removed into the sea and it would remove. And so I could have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not love. I am nothing, it says here. I am nothing, zero. And so it goes on and says, And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body even to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. My goodness, love is pretty important, isn't it? If I can do all of these things, these wonderful things, but I don't, it's not mixed with love, there isn't love behind it, it doesn't mean a thing, and it doesn't profit anything. I heard a testimony years ago that really moved my heart. This faith healer had gone into a certain town, and he did his faith healing ministry in a large auditorium. That was his ministry, to go to large auditorium throughout the cities of America and have healing services. And he was very tired after this one healing service, very just exhausted from ministering to so many people. And he was wanting to get home so bad to his big fluffy bed. And this is the normal human thing happening, right? He just wanted to get home. And so he headed for the back door after the service was over. And he got out there in the corridor to get to his car and go home. He was just looking so forward to a nice warm bed. And this man stopped him and said, "Would you say a prayer for me?" And he was so upset that the man stopped him. And he just didn't have any love left. He just, you know, was burnt out kind of from the night or whatever. And so he just touched the guy and said a quick prayer, and the guy was healed. But the Lord spoke to his heart, and he said, "You get no reward for this one." There was no love there at all. And it just always stuck with him. And as he shared that in his testimony one night, it touched me and has never left me. Man, you don't want to operate outside the love of God. You just don't ever want to do it. We want to stay close to the love of God. Now, we want to ask the question here, why is love so important? Why is it so important that without it, we're nothing, we can do nothing, it doesn't mean anything, it profits nothing? Why is it so important? So the first scripture then we went read is 1 Timothy 3:5, and that's Sherry. And could you stand up, Sharon, and kind of, you know, turn sideways so that everybody can hear you? Good. That's not it.
What you wanted, I didn't think.
No, 1 Timothy 3:5.
Yeah, that's
it. Is that it?
3:5.
1 Timothy 3:5?
Yeah.
Oh, let me check and see where the real one is, because this is too important to...
I looked at all the five.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Could it have been 2 Timothy?
Well, that's what I'm going to look for right now, 2 Timothy. It is 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 5. My fault, sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, 1 Timothy 1, 5, right?
Yes, thank you.
Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Isn't that beautiful? Now, there is another translation too, that she's read the same translation I have. The goal, the whole goal of our instruction is love. Our whole goal of instructing other people is love. Out of a pure heart, it says here, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, or faith that's not faked. It's real faith. But the goal is love. Okay, let's go to our second scripture, John 13:35, and that's Carmen. Could you stand up, Carmen, and be real loud? Yeah. you read that one more time? Somehow that didn't.
First John
what? No, it's John 13:35. Okay, that's
by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm a girl.
What's that?
I'm not. She's an ex.
Oh, you're in the book of, okay. That's okay. See, we're having an opportunity to love one another, aren't we? God is giving us. Okay, yeah, you go ahead and read 13:35 of John. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. We love you, Carmen. Yeah. 13:35, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. How do they know we're the disciples of Jesus? It's because we're loving one another. That's how people know. That is just the most amazing thing, isn't it? That's why another reason love is so important. Because that's how people know that you're a Christian. It's just, I remember a concert years ago at Long Beach State, and somebody that doesn't want to listen to the gospel was at this concert, and they had a testimony afterward that all of the singing that they did and the preaching did not affect him. He was hardened. But what hit him is he could see backstage from the side where he was sitting in the audience. And when the bands were finished, they'd all go back and start hugging one another. And he knew they were real Christians by the love that they had one for another. And that's what got him. That's what got him saved. It was the love. The love. That's why it's so important. That's why we're reading in 1 Corinthians 13. It's so important. Because it displays that you're really a Christian. Now let's go to 1 John 4:7-8. I think that's Brother Dan.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Well, that's powerful, that last three words, isn't it? God equals love. God is love. And so if we really know the Lord, we're going to have lots of love. You're going to have lots of love. We're on the love train, man. And we'll have love for our kids and love for our grandkids and love for each other. And it'll be overflowing and a blessing. And everybody will know that you're Christians, right? Amen. Okay, we have 1 Peter 4:8. Who had that one? Okay, Dennis.
1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for charity shall overcome the multitude of sin.
Oh, man. Love is going to overcome the multitude of sins. Many of us have many sins to be forgiven, don't we? But what overcomes that? What overcomes the sins? It's love. The love of God in Christ Jesus. For he demonstrated his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Okay, then the last scripture is Romans 13:10. Rick's got that. Okay, Rick. Wow. Love actually fulfills the law. The law. And what did Jesus say about that? He said, you know what? The first commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And like unto this, love your neighbor as yourself. Did you know the Apostle John, this is from Foxer's Book of Martyrs, when he was very old, they would carry him to church because he couldn't walk anymore. And he would say over and over again, little children, love one another. For if you do this, it is enough. That's what he said. It's enough. Because love fulfills the law. The law of God is fulfilled in love. So, many scriptures here, and I had to give you at least these to show us why it's so important and why this whole thing is true, that we've got to have the love, man. You got to have the love of God operating in your life where it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Love is the opening door. Love is why Jesus was here for. That's an old song from way back when. But there it is. And so very good. Well, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians 13, and we want to get into the definition of the agape love. It's given to us right here in the Bible. The definition of the agape love. This is not the storge. This is not the phileo. This is not the eros love. This is the agape love by which Jesus Christ was known. And if we have this kind of love operating in your relationships, and especially in your marriage is going to work wonderfully if this kind of love is operating in it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And it says here in verse 4, love suffers long or is patient. Love is patient. You have to learn how to wait with the love of Christ. And the love of Christ brings that patience. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience. Waiting. And you know, if we can learn how to wait when somebody's yelling at us and give a soft answer turns away wrath. And you have a new start. Thank you, brother, for doing that. Thank you. And so this is a wonderful thing, to have the patience. So love is patient. It's kind. It's the kindness of the Lord that brings us to repentance. Romans chapter 2. It's patient. It's kind. Love envies not. You know, I remember hearing a news brief about two famous stars that got married. And one of them was kind of going down in his popularity with his acting. And the other one was a rising star. And he ended up divorcing her because he just was so envious that she was more popular than him. And that's a human thing. It was for envy that Jesus Christ was delivered up by Pontius Pilate. That's what the Bible says. The Pharisees knew, or Pontius Pilate knew, that it was for envy that he was delivered up. And so, love is patient, it's kind, it does not envy. Love vaunteth not itself. A better translation for us to understand is it does not push itself forward. Me, pushing myself forward. Love is not puffed up. It's not prideful. It does not behave itself unseemingly. Now, I have a different translation here that I like the best for this one. It's not rude. Love is not rude. Now, you know, have you ever been in an embarrassing moment when you were with another couple or something like that, and the husband is rude to his wife? maybe calls her the ball and chain or something like that. And it's just rude, a rude activity. And you get kind of embarrassed and you want to go, ooh, you know, that was, he's going to get it with from his wife when they get home, you know, kind of thing. And you just feel bad in the whole situation. But the Lord wants to really get us to steer clear of being rude in our relationships. Don't be rude. And so it does not, the agape love does not behave itself unseemingly. It seeks not her own. And again, I like another modern translation on this one. It makes no records of wrongs. It is amazing through the years in the different counseling situations that I've had with couples that come in that want marriage counseling, and what they have is lists. Lists of what the other one's done to them. And sometimes those lists will go back 10 years and sometimes even 20 years in their life. That just something that turned them off and they put it on a list. And the thing is this, the agape love, the love of Jesus, forgets. Forgetting that which is behind and pressing on to that which lies ahead. The Bible says that he gave himself for our sins, and he cast them as far as the east is from the west. And there's another scripture that actually says he remembers them no more. And I am really crazy about that verse, because when I get to heaven, Jesus Christ is not going to bring anything up that I did in my past. That's what that says. He doesn't remember. Even if I brought it up, I said, Lord, remember when I did this? He says, what? I don't remember that. He, in his book of remembrances, he writes down when you thought about him and when you talked about him and when you fellowship with other believers. You can read Malachi 3, verses 16 and 17 on that. That's what's written down in Jesus Christ's book of remembrances about you. The times that you thought wonderfully about him and talked about him. And it's wonderful to know. That's real love. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I remember when one of my boys was in fourth grade, his cousin had stole the rose off his birthday cake. And he was so mad about that, that he didn't get the icing rose from his birthday cake. And he went into his room, and I hear this pounding on the wall. And I go in, I say, what are you doing? He says, I'm putting up my list. And this is, yeah. And it was real opportunity to teach. And first on the list is Wendy, my cousin, who stole the rose off my birthday cake. He was really getting in the revenge type deal. But see, the love of God makes no record of wrongs. There's no record there, as he forgives us and washes away our sin. Love is not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love, the agape love, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, if you try to put your own name in that definition, like let's try Mark. Mark bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Mark never fails. It does not fit for any of us as people that have sinned. It doesn't work. But you put Jesus in there. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus never fails. And that is why the only way to the agape love is through Jesus Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. And if it's not done in the love of Christ, it's worth nothing. It's just a life of vanity, nothingness, zero, that we live. But with Christ, we can do all things because he strengthens us. Amen. And we experience his love. and people see his love, and people can't even believe his love sometimes, and they transfer their own motives to you. When you have acted in the love of Christ, your motive was pure, but they cannot ever get a pure motive in their heart without Christ. So they don't understand it, and they judge you for bad motives. But actually, it's wonderful motives. The love of Jesus, and that's where we want to be, and that's where we'll always be successful in our Christian life, is engulfed in the love of Christ. And we look in his face and receive his love, and we are overflowed with it. And that is what's so great. Now it goes on to say, love never fails, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. We'll no longer need the gift of tongues in heaven, because there's going to be just one language in heaven according to Revelation. Everybody will speak one language. And I guess it's Hebrew. That's my guess. So we should probably bone up on Hebrew. Those tongues will cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We don't know much here on earth, and we can't learn much in just 100 years. We can scratch the surface, and our knowledge and our wisdom should be bent towards just studying Jesus, because he knows everything. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, when Jesus Christ comes, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. The childish ways of the world can infiltrate, and worldly motives can infiltrate into the things of God and into the church sometimes. And the thing we need to do is get back to love. Let's just get back to love. Let's just look in the love of Christ. Let's look through the loving eyes of Jesus and ask for his love. And you know, that works so beautifully in marriage. Just be honest with you, with my wife and I, and I think everybody, when you're married any length of time, you might begin to feel like, you know, it's not the same. It's not like it was when we were young, and that kind of feeling. But you know what you do when you start feeling that? You pray for love. Because the Bible says if you ask anything according to his will, he hears it and gives it. And the whole book of 1 John, what that verse is about love. And so when you start feeling like you're not really loving, you pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ, fill me with your love, Lord. And you know what? I've done that through the years for Sherry, my wife. And I'm telling you, it's not more than 3 days until I'm crazy in love with her again. And it just gets better and better. One time I looked at her, it was 4 a.m. I said, Lord, I love this girl so much. And he says, that's the way I feel about you. And it brought tears to my eyes. It's just the way it is. Either you have Jesus or you don't. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. And he brings the love, because God is love. God equals love. And we just love him with all of our hearts. And we love our neighbors as ourselves. It's as simple as that. And in those two commandments, all the law and all the prophets are fulfilled. Glory to God. So I put away the childish things. There's this song that I remember from years ago, and at the end of it is, Lord, reduce me to love. Take all the facade away and all the junk away and all of the idiot talking I do, and just reduce me to love. And that is where it's at. And I'm loving it. For now we see through a glass darkly. You know, sometimes you just want to see better. I want to see him better. But I'm looking now through a glass darkly. But then when I see him face to face, I will not, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. I will know Jesus as well as he knows me when I see him face to face. And I am convinced that when we see Jesus Christ, there is going to be absolutely no condemnation at all. There's going to be no shame. Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. And it's going to be like meeting your loved one on a country road that you've been dying to see your whole life. And you're just going to run and jump in his arms. And that is going to be the most precious time for every single one of us as we just see him as he is. So, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen? Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray together. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this chapter. Lord, may you use the words of this chapter to just jump into our hearts, Lord, and stir us up to just want more and more of your love, that love would abound more and more, as your scripture says, in every one of our lives, and for those people that you have given us to love. And that, Lord, that you would do this awesome, awesome, awesome work in each heart in this room tonight. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Stand together. Well, may the Lord bless you real good, deep and wide, and may the love of God just overflow you in all that you do, and leading you and guiding you. It's really neat. There's this verse that says, "This God is our God, and he will lead us even unto death." I love that. Yes, and then right on into eternity because of his great love. So God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.